Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Let's hit the skins. Brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Well, then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case there's skins hitting? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can get both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. All right, we're going to get into some audio from the general manager of the Washington Commanders, Adam Peters. The first clip is him talking about Marshawn Lattimore and his take on how he performed this season after he was acquired from the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, Marshawn, he came into a tough situation. He did, and he was injured when he got here. And so anytime you come into a new team and you're injured, it's really hard to integrate, you know, and plus you're coming in at the end of the season. So at the same time, you're rehabbing, you're learning a new defense, you're trying to meet new teammates. And so it was a tough situation for him to come in. But what was cool was, we saw him get better and we saw him get more acclimated, not only to the defense, but to his teammates. And so really excited for him to have an off season with us and really learn the defense from the ground up and really have that full runway of training camp and leading into the season, and looking forward to that.
That's what we kind of said yesterday.
Right.
You know, that give him a whole off season, give him a training camp. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's 100% healthy. Should be a better player. Right. I know Bickle wants to get rid of him.
I don't expect much different. Well, I think he's grabby, whatever.
Well, he is physical.
He's going to be a pain in the ass. I don't mind physical.
That's why he's been so good.
And I don't think he ingratiated himself either to his teammates when he was asked after the game, like, what went wrong? He's like, three turnovers, you just can't.
Yeah, he should have said, I didn't play well.
Yeah, he should have been, you know what?
I shouldn't have given up the 4th and 5.
Yeah, say, I didn't have the best day, and we turned the ball over a bunch. Like, you got to own some of it yourself when you let the other team put up 55 on you, and he didn't really seem like he was into doing that.
It wasn't just him.
I know, it wasn't just him.
I noticed that. Did other people notice that comment? Like,
probably.
I think so. I don't think it went over very well.
Well, do you have evidence of that, or you're just guessing?
No, just anecdotally. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah.
No, I know. I listened to that, and I go, "Wow, you're kind of throwing a guy's under the bus." But I didn't hear anybody complain about it. You see, I thought he just got away with it.
Yeah. So, and look, this is partially Adam Peters putting it out there that, like, hey, I made this move. Like, let's give it some time. I understand him trying to finesse the situation. He acquired the player for a third, I believe a fourth and a seventh round pick, and you didn't get the returns you were looking for in that first half season. So now he's hoping with an offseason of rest, recuperation, more integration into the scheme, that he'll be a better player.
I'm sure a lot of fans probably
starting
feel
week one
that same
of next
way.
Year.
Eric, I just think you got to give him another year.
It's fine.
Hopefully he's going to play a whole year.
But remember, he had played a whole year.
He hadn't done that in 3 years.
But neither had Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz had a resurgence, so it's possible.
I just put it up as our Surfside poll of the day. We love Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. They are the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can, only 100 calories, with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety. 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. It's simple. If you're running the Commanders, what do you do with Marshawn Lattimore? Move on or run it back?
I don't mind having guys that are like kind of like jerks on the field, for lack of a better way of describing them. Like, I remember in our heyday, like Wilbur Marshall. No one liked Wilbur Marshall, right, but I sure liked having him on my team.
Yep. You don't mind fiery agitators? No, Brian Mitchell was like that.
B. Mitch was just like that. I was going to say that. But I don't know.
Except he produced.
I haven't seen the payoff.
Yeah.
Like, I see all the agitating stuff, but I haven't seen the payoff.
Nikki Jabala
next year.
Yeah, Nikki Jabala says in 5 games with Washington, Lattimore totaled 6 penalties for a loss of 96 yards, which helped set up 20 points for other teams.
I mean, I think he was a disaster, but you know, to your point, you know, let's see if he can get healthy for the first time in forever.
It might be Adam's first L. If all of a sudden he's injured next season.
And he's going to have L's.
I know. Every GM has L's.
Yeah, he's going to have a bunch of
them. He's not going to have a 1,000 batting percentage.
But
he's going to have some misses.
I guess they're financially committed.
Or maybe he has an L for 24, but in 2025, it's a win.
Would you bet on it? It seems like you're kind of betting on it. That's the vibe I get from you.
I don't have confidence he'll stay healthy because he just hasn't proven that in the last 3 years.
I don't have that either.
If he's on the field, I think he's going
to
be good.
I mean, he has a reputation of being very good.
I didn't see any indication he wasn't healthy other than he sucked.
He's.
I don't know, maybe.
So everyone's saying he wasn't healthy.
He might have just been.
How do we know he wasn't healthy?
Well, I assume he was.
You didn't see many pass breakups.
Because he was on
breakups.
The field.
I'll say this.
Many pass breakups. I can't think of one.
He seemed close on a lot of those plays, but that's what we say about Benjamin St. Juice.
More people for close.
No,
St. Juice
but
is the same thing. If he
was hampered a little bit by the hamstring,
I would personally, technique wise, than St. Juice.
I would personally run it back with him and hope that this is a guy who was drafted very high. He has a reputation for being a shutdown corner, and I would just hope that these 5 or 6 games that we saw him were a bit of an anomaly, that he comes back and he starts to show,
you know,
why he got a big contract.
The only thing I would say to that, and it's not fair, but you know when you're scouting or you're recruiting and you go in, it takes you 3 minutes to see who the standouts are. I've seen this guy 5 games. I've seen enough. That's my opinion.
If I'm Peters,
and you may be proven right, and I
he's coming back. There's no way they're just cutting bait with him after a half season of ineffective.
If he was in high school and he was at an Under Armour camp, and he was like, and I'm sure he was, he popped in the first drill. He's not popping now. He's popping for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, but they've seen film of him at his best. They wouldn't have traded for him at his best. Not necessarily. I don't think Adam Peters would have signed him if his best was 3 years ago and he wasn't producing even this year in New Orleans.
I kind of want to bet on him having a resurgence, but I don't know, he's tough to gamble on. I don't feel confident about it.
I don't know. He's very annoying.
The thing that's kind of...
I don't know why he annoys me so much.
The thing that you have to worry about with him is, man, these other players get into his head.
Yeah.
And he just kind of takes it out on those guys.
He can't get out of his own way.
I'm guessing he's always been like that.
If things go sideways for him, he can't just compartmentalize.
That's part of his edge.
Get back to the next
part of his edge.
Maybe he gets the other people out of their games, though.
Maybe he does. He didn't.
Now
he didn't seem to with Evans and Brown.
I'm willing to give him a second chance and see if he's healthy and productive. But if Malik Nabers comes out and has 12 catches against him for $150 in week 1 or week 2. I'm going to be raising my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Jason,
yeah.
You said Nikki wrote
Jabala,
or tweeted or whatever that he had 6 penalties in the 5 games that net resulted in 20 points. How many points did he give up when he just didn't have a penalty?
He just gave up a touchdown.
His ass just got burned.
I mean, I would say a decent amount because
I think the guy was probably responsible for like 50 points.
I don't know that.
I think A.J. Brown scored on him. Evan scored on him. So those weren't on penalties. Those were actual touchdowns.
I'm just so let down. I just feel so burned by him.
You feel jilted by him.
I just want him out of my face.
800-636-1067.
Don't you like a good redemption
story? If you want to chime in.
I do.
You're not even willing to give him a second chance.
I mean, I kind of am, but I think I feel like I've seen enough. Mm. As an elite talent evaluator, I feel like I've seen enough.
The other part of it, if you want to chime in again, 800-636-1067 or vote at Junks Radio, does he fit into the brotherhood? Does he fit into the culture?
Yeah. No idea. I'm sure the guys love a fiery guy.
I think guys like guys who produce.
Yeah, exactly. I know a guy told me, he said, like, in the locker room, they don't care where you're drafted, whatever. Mm-hmm. All they care about is if you can help the team.
It's a meritocracy.
If you hurt the team,
as it should be,
they don't get sized.
Of course not.
Because you're hurting the team.
Right.
They don't care. And they actually hate you more if you're a high-priced guy and you're hurting the team.
Yeah.
And if you
can lift up the team, you deal with the eccentricity.
Right.
It's a hard one.
That's a hard one.
Eccentricities?
Eccentricities. I think you got it.
Yeah.
But you deal with the Dennis Rodmans of the world.
You deal with the weirdness.
Yes.
There comes a point where even Rodman, juice ain't worth the squeeze.
Yeah, after three championships.
Well, yeah, it depends. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I would agree with you. He's got to prove on the field that he's worth what they traded for him. And
I have no reason to believe.
We just didn't see it this year.
I have no reason to believe. I didn't see any evidence that the hamstring was still bothering him. I mean, the guy took a year off.
Well, the evidence was he wasn't on the field for the first 6 weeks.
Right. And then when he played,
maybe he was just a little rusty, a little out of shape. Who knows?
Shocker. I had the wrong
read. I
thought his hamstring would be instantly healed as soon as he landed in Washington. Turns out it dogged him all the way throughout the time he showed up here.
All right, let's go to Joe in Manassas. Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Junks? Love the show as always. I think we just need talent. You know what I mean? He didn't play that great. Yeah, maybe he came in the middle of the season, banged up, whatever. But we need that. Like, we need somebody back there. You know what I mean? Everyone talks about St. Juice, this, that. I mean, the guys couldn't cover anybody. So we need the talent. Even if it's his second guy or whatever, he's got talent. Let him get affiliated with the guys, and let's see what happens.
Particularly good at this point? What did you see that you think makes him particularly good?
Well, I just think Adam Peters, I mean, I think he just knows a lot more than you, Bickle. So that, I mean, that.
All right, I would stipulate to that. But I think also Peters is a little bit in a bind because he went all in, and now he's got all this money on the line. And he's got to try to – a lot of people try to justify it.
But, Eric, don't you think that, like, in the middle of the season, our fans at the beginning of the season, we were getting just drugged through – I mean, every receiver
I appreciate the swing. I'm saying he missed. I appreciate the swing.
You can't say that right now, though, can you? This early? I mean, after a few games that a guy comes back injured? I mean, come on, like track record.
Maybe not. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but my initial instinct is we whiffed on this one.
What do you think his track record is, though, Joe? How informed are you about the track record? Because we went through it yesterday. He hasn't played more than 10 games in over three seasons.
The last 3 years have been bad, yeah.
What if he's really good? What if he's as good as you think? But he only plays 10. Hold on.
But what do we have, Bickle? Like, I don't think he's that great.
Get somebody else. Cakes wants to trade out the kicker. To me,
they could add pieces, Joe.
Is that the only corner option?
I want him we just need play. We need guys back there. I know they gave up a lot for him, but I think you got to give it a little bit of time and just.
So you'd run it back. That's fair.
Listen, I think your take is reasonable.
There's no other choices.
I think your take is reasonable. I'm just saying I disagree. I think your take is reasonable. No,
Hey, is Tailgate Ted like the ROM of the junkies? Is Tailgate Ted the ROM?
He's an AD guy. Yeah, There's no doubt about it.
What in the world, dude? He's kind of goofy. I love you, Tailgate Ted, but you're a little goofy.
Well, he's just all in on it.
We can't relate to that.
Come on, man.
I just can't.
I can't. You can't subject yourself to that nonsense, bro. All right. Hey, have a great day.
Hey, Tailgate Ted isn't here to respond because he has to go do Fox 5.
Yeah.
Right. More ADs.
The guy,
he should go to CBS and get a haul.
He really should be like a producer. You know what I mean? Like, because he's a great. He knows how to get press.
I know one thing. He wasn't going to take that jersey off with his name on it at any point.
No.
Despite everything that was said to him.
Yeah.
That jersey was staying on. Yep.
That was his armor.
I wish I could be that passionate about anything in my life.
Could you imagine? You're willing to take a beating.
Could you imagine? You think I'm ready to take a punch in the face for Jupiter Lynx?
I'm going to go get a mouthpiece.
A mouthpiece?
Because how fun is that?
I'm with you, EB.
That's not fun.
It's unfun.
You know what? Honestly, I've been known to get in verbal sparring, you know, with people. It kind of ruins your day.
I went to a Terps game.
He's doing that for four quarters.
It doesn't bother him.
24/7.
I went to a Terps game with my family, and there were just four donks behind me, not yelling at me, yelling at the stupid referee the whole time, and it was miserable.
Takes a different type.
The funniest thing Tailgate said during his segment was, "Bickle, I told you, I was ready to die a loser."
It is bizarre. All right, can we keep taking some more of these calls? I think the Lattimore thing is a hot topic.
Yes,
they may have. They may have to wait.
We got Adam Kilgore
coming up.
Oh, okay,
we can do 8:45.
So the callers can hold on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. Next is Adam Kilgore, Washington Post National Sports Reporter. He'll join us next on The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Coming up in just about an hour, Matt Verderam, national NFL reporter for SI Now, will join us. We'll talk NFL playoffs with him. We'll do the same with Adam Kilgore, who joins us now on the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Adam is the Washington Post national sports reporter. Adam, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great to be with you guys.
So you tweeted this during the game a couple days ago at Adam Kilgore WP, and we were just talking about this. The Commanders had the Eagles in 3rd and 13, down 14-12. Marshawn Lattimore got beaten, held Devontae Smith, and it's been cascading disaster since. So we all know how the game played out. The game went sideways for the Commanders, but we've been debating, you know, does the team retain Marshawn Lattimore? I think they have to, because they picked him up with 2 years left on his deal. They gave up significant draft capital to acquire him. But there are a lot of fans, including one across the table from me, who don't want him back. Also, look, like, Adam Peters isn't stupid. He knows who this team faces in the division. They're going to be facing Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb, and A.J. Brown twice every season. They need a top corner, and that's why they went out and got Lattimore.
Tell me when they get one.
Well, Peters thought he got one in Lattimore. What do you think of this situation and how it's unfolded so far?
Sure. So I would say the bottom line, I feel like, is that they're going to keep him. I mean, I think they have to, based on, like you said, what they gave up to get him. You know, all that draft capital, you can't then turn around and say, like, well, that didn't work. You know, I think when they identified Marshawn Lattimore is a player they wanted, they weren't just thinking about, you know, this year. I think they were thinking about, you know, an opportunity to acquire a player that would be there for the years when they start to build the roster kind of in their image and acquire some more talent through draft and free agency and everything. So I do think that was a longer term addition. I think they'd probably tell you that they didn't maybe understand quite how injury would affect Lattimore, how he would come off those hamstrings, how long it would take him to get on the field, how much it would affect him once he did get on the field. I don't want to make any excuses. He was out there, so he's got to wear his performance. But, you know, I also don't think that was the real Marshawn Lattimore. And if it is, and if he's just entered a different phase of his career, that's really scary. This is going to backfire in a big way.
Yeah, the thing that's kind of frustrating is, and I'm not sure how many Commanders fans did their research before or even after the trade, but he's missed a lot of games the last 3 years.
A lot of games.
Yeah,
that's right.
So it's almost like you're acquiring an injured piece.
Put it this way: a lot of people in New Orleans.
And then when he comes here, you know he's missed the first 5 or 6 games. When we kind of talked about it, we said, "Well, he's going to be fine. His hamstring." They wouldn't have made the deal if his hamstring was hurt, but obviously it was still bothering him.
No doubt. Yeah, and I think that's something that the Commanders, you know, we look at a guy who starts to miss games, you know, as they enter, you know, sort of the middle to later part of their prime. You know, you got to wonder, like, is he taking care of his body like he's supposed to? You know, it might be bad luck. You know, football players get hurt, but, you know, and I think if that's something that Marshawn Lattimore needs to, like, you know, focus on or more hone in on the offseason, and he's not doing that, and again, that would be part of like a miscalculation by the Commanders about the kind of player and, you know, guy that they traded for. You know, I do think that, you know, he's so talented at such a premium position that it's going to end up working out for the Commanders. But obviously, there are signs that it might not.
Oh, you're betting on it working out.
I think you bet on talent. You know, I mean, the guy's one of the most talented cornerbacks. You know, one of the most important positions in the league. And, you know, it doesn't guarantee anything. And maybe he does, you know, can't shake these injuries. And it's going to be a problem for his whole tenure in Washington. And that would be a real problem for the Commanders. But, you know, you don't find – I mean, they gave up a lot of draft capital, but they weren't, like, you know, premium, great, you know, home run picks. So I think they require that guy at that position with those picks. It requires some risk. And so I think it was probably a smart – or at least a worthy calculation by the Commanders. But obviously, it could still go either way. And, you know, they got the NFC Championship, and he's a huge reason why they lost that game. So that's going to be hard to – he's going to have some really good seasons to overcome just that one day, really.
I just question, like, apparently at the Combine, you're in a 4-3. Like, he doesn't look like a 4-3 guy to me anymore. So,
well, he's near not nine, right?
Exactly. I mean, not many guys are.
Right, but when – I will say this, though, to defend him.
Yeah.
When he was playing full seasons with New Orleans, he was at a Pro Bowler every year.
Right. Yeah. That's when he was 24, 25.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah.
And injuries. I just think they've taken a toll. They bought a lemon. I think they bought a lemon. And people in New Orleans, they said this is what you're getting.
Yeah.
You're getting a guy that gets banged up, doesn't play that often, and, you know, he's just not the player
he was.
He's
past his prime. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't blame Adam Peters for the swing, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Adam, do you think that, I don't know about corner in particular, but defensive back will certainly be a target for Peters in the draft and or the free agency.
I think for sure. I think that's one position that's going to be really high on their list. You know, I mean, Mikey Sanderson, great player. When he's one-on-one with A.J. Brown on the outside, that's not good for business. And that's a sign that you need a little, you know, different kind of player in that defensive backs room. And, you know, I think offensive line is going to be a real priority for them in the draft and free agency. And they just need more depth there. And they need, you know, probably more quality, especially at the tackle spot.
What about D-line? I mean, the defensive line is our
high. I mean, other than quarterback, like, where do you feel good about? I mean, it's amazing.
No, I said that. Every layer, they need help. Every layer, they need help. And especially, honestly, it sucks because we like a lot of those guys. And you know, but all of our assets are in that interior of that line, and that's a big part of the reason why we can't stop the run. I mean, I know you got to set the edge, but they go right up the middle, too.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I mean, and, you know, and Jonathan Allen's a really good football player. I mean, local guy. We've all appreciated what he's done.
Of course, everyone likes him.
But he's not unlike Marshawn Lattimore's. You know, and what year is this for him? Year 8 or 9, or you know, some. You know, he's not the, he's not in the middle of his prime anymore either, and he's dealing with injuries. Totally. I mean, they definitely need, more depth, more strength, more power in the trenches. Both sides of the ball, and you know, it'd be a good conversation to figure out which is more important for them right now, D-line or O-line, but they really need both.
Adam, are you hearing any buzz about Cliff Kingsbury possibly interviewing for the Saints job? If I'm Kingsbury, I mean, with one job left, I'm looking at that Saints roster, the skill positions are the most important to my offense, and I'm looking at a mediocre quarterback in Derek Carr. I'm looking at a running back who, while he's been productive, Alvin Kamara is getting close to 30 years old, like his best part of his career behind him. He's got an oft-injured top wideout in Chris Olave, who's had multiple concussions. Like, I might have to just hit the pause button, come back and work with Jaden for another year, and keep upping my stock for 2026. How do you think that works out?
I think you nailed it. I mean, I would be shocked if Cliff Kingsbury turned down the chance to work with Jane Daniels another year, to work for Dan Quinn, who he obviously has a really good working relationship with, to go coach, a New Orleans team with not only the roster issues you said, but a very strange and, you know, honestly kind of difficult to manage, like, ownership situation. Salary cap situation is like, ticking time bomb down there. I would be stunned if that's what he left for, because his stock is going to go up. I mean, he knows what he's doing, first of all. Second of all, if you're coaching a player like Jaden Daniels as quarterback, like, you're not going to have a bad offense. Your star is not going to diminish over another year. So, I would be shocked if that's the job that he left for. And so, I mean, you know, they flew up to Philly to interview Kellen Moore last night. It seems like that might be the direction that they're going. So, I if I was a Commanders fan, I wouldn't be too worried or really worried at all at losing Cliff Kingsbury this cycle. But I feel like Kingsbury and Joe Witt eventually too are both going to get a lot of looks, if they keep having success.
Yeah, probably deservedly so. Where do you stand on the two real critical pieces this year, Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz? They're way up there, but man, they were critical. Bobby's definitely, can only cover about a 3-foot area, but he's still impactful. Ertz still clearly could play. I mean, you could argue about the bottom of the roster guys like the De'Ami Browns, the Noah Browns, the Igbinogbis or whatever. They're almost interchangeable. These old guys, you want to have a young roster, but man, they were pretty integral. I'm kind of torn on it.
If I'm Adam Peters, I think both those guys kind of have a priority. I mean, number one, they had great seasons. There's not going to be a huge bidding war for Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. Like, your cap's not going to be
right.
You know, tank because you sign those two guys back for another year or two. You know, probably just 1 year. Mm-hmm. Number two, like you could make a pretty good argument that they were two of the most, if not the two most important players around Jaden Daniels because of his. He has an amazing off-the-field relationship with Bobby Wagner, and that's like the perfect guy you want to mentor
right.
any young star in your organization.
I agree.
And Zach Ertz was like, you know, just like a
his safety valve.
Dyed-in-the-wool security blanket, like cliche, veteran, smart, great hands, tight end that is like the quarterback's best friend. Like all those cliches about reliable wideouts or tight ends, Zach Ertz was that. I love the idea of like drafting a tight end and letting Zach Ertz sort of like bring him along for a year. And then you say, thank you, Zach. Great job with the Commanders. And you know, then you sort of like start over. But I don't see where this team gets, you know, worse by having those guys around in any way. I mean, it's not going to cost that much money to keep them.
Talking to Adam Kilgore from the Washington Post, national sports reporter, you wrote about the AFC championship game and Josh Allen played well, but he just can't slay the monster, as you describe it. Can't get over the hump of the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
No. And I mean, it seems, you know, and on the one hand, it seems inevitable that like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are going to break through like one of these years and get their own Super Bowl. But, you know, it's they're going to be 30 soon, and it can only seem inevitable for so long before it actually hasn't happened, you know, and it's because of who the Chiefs are. It's not just the fact that they got Mahomes. Well, that's, you know, a very big part of it, or that they got Reed, or they got Spagnuolo, who's like an evil genius and always calls, you know, saves, withholds like the exact perfect blitz, the exact perfect time at the end of these games. They just collectively like understand better than any team how to execute, how to call the right play, how to you know, just be 1 inch better than the other team at those right moments. And it goes into, I think, all those years of experience of playing big games, playing close games, getting every team's like best shot every single week for 17 weeks. That was really the same thing that Brett Veach said, the GM. I was talking to him in the locker room after that game. And he said, look, like, you know, when you're the Chiefs, it was kind of arrogant, but kind of a good little flex that he made here. He's like, when you're the Chiefs, like, we get everyone's best game every week. We're not at our best every week, but by the time we get to the playoffs, having gone through that, that's why like we have this great poise and this great calm in these moments, because like we've been basically playing other teams at a playoff level all year, even when we're not that. But in the playoffs, you got to see like our best. I thought that was a really interesting point he made, and I think that, you know, is a slice of like why this team just freaking wins every game in the playoffs.
I'm tired of the Chiefs.
He's not.
So tired of it.
All right, Adam, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. Adam Kilgore, Washington Post national sports reporter. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. That's Adam Kilgore. Coming up at 9:25, we'll talk more NFL, more playoffs with Matt Verderam, national NFL reporter for SI Now. You don't know what I almost tripped over in the bathroom just like 2 minutes ago.
Rodgers jeans, because they're low.
It's a great guess. I did not almost trip over Rodgers jeans. I'll give you one or two other guesses. What I nearly tripped over in the bathroom here at Odyssey. It was in the bathroom. On the floor when I walked in.
I know what it was.
A dog. Okay. I mean, it startled me, though, because I opened the door, and generally I'm not looking down when I walk into the bathroom. I open the door. I walk towards where I need to do my business. So I open the door, and there's something on the floor in front of me, and it... At first, I thought it's a giant rat because there's an animal in the bathroom.
Oh. Luckily, so who brought their dog to work?
The tall sales guy who I never remember his name.
He's the pooper.
I never remember his name, but he had a very cute dog named Ollie that I nearly tripped over.
Oh, well, that's the last thing you expect to see is a dog
right?
in the bathroom.
Like, you don't expect to see a dog, and it was literally 2 feet past like the door. So like you open the door, you take a step, Dog nearly had me faceplant in the bathroom.
The only dog you usually see is Poet's dog.
Yeah.
Correct.
And she brings her dog.
Yeah, but it's not
twice
in the bathroom.
A week.
It's not standing right at the door when you walk in.
And it's radio. It's a different environment. I'm wondering, you know how a lot of people, especially in this area, are going to have to actually go back to the office because they work for the government.
Right. Yep.
And they haven't been going back to the office. And the benefit of them working from home, if they were doing their work, is they save on child care and pet care and all those things.
Right.
What are all those people with dogs going to have to do?
Oh, the people on Rover, they're going to make bank. They're just going to make big coin.
What is Rover?
That's like an app where you schedule somebody to come over and let your dog out or come walk your dog. I mean, we've used it a few times. Like if we're out and Winnie needs like to go out or needs to go for a walk, we'll hire somebody.
Wow.
And those people are going to clean up.
What do you do? Give them a code to the house?
I might leave the key in a certain spot. I mean, it's a little dicey. It's not the greatest idea,
right? Okay? But I mean, it's an app. It's tracked.
Correct.
So one would think that a guy.
Yeah, we've had
you
no
give access to your house. Isn't going to come steal your laptop,
right? We haven't used it a lot, but I mean, there has to be an element of trust.
There's definitely an element of trust.
Yeah, you're relying on your fellow man. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Drab brought up this story. I think maybe he handed it to you during the break that he saw on Reddit. That's kind of gone viral. And it's pretty interesting. So there was a mom who shared this story about her daughter. She had a 16 or 17-year-old daughter that she let go on a trip to Costa Rica with another family.
Right.
You know, I think you've done trips where you've invited friends. Yep. We may have all done that to an extent.
I've definitely done this exact sort of thing.
The daughter comes back from the trip from Costa Rica. She was there with her friend and parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
And then the other family sent a bill. And the mom said it wasn't a bill for just like the activities like zip lining. They had a bill and
charged
a portion of the accommodations and the food.
Like and the car rental.
Well,
like
I mean they're just losers.
Well, you can't do that, right?
That never happened.
You cannot do that.
That never happens.
You're really down to the nubbins if you're sending an itemized bill about. Now look, if you're going on a trip with somebody and maybe they pay for their airfare. Like, we've done that before. Like, but then, like, once they're on the trip, I'm paying all the freight.
Yeah, once they're with you, they're part of the fam.
I'm paying for the room and board, meals, whatever.
No, like, you're paying for everything.
You're on scholarship.
If you invite someone to go on a trip with you, it's understood. Yeah, I mean, you're paying for everything.
What was the total bill, did it say?
I don't think it said the exact amount.
Well, first of all, the parents are going to clear it with the other parents before she goes on the trip. Well, if you have any clue,
right?
What do you want us to pay for?
Or if you're classy, you just like kids invite somebody.
No, I understand. The parents are awful parents,
right?
But even if you don't know, you just say, all right, what do you need us to cover?
Right,
and they'll tell you.
Well, what you do is you give your kid a couple hundred bucks, and you say, here, make sure you pay for dinners. Make sure you offer to pay for things.
They're just clueless.
That's what you do.
They're clueless parents.
What do you do though? Let's say you sent your kid.
Yeah,
and you got the bill. What would you do the bill? Say Lurch.
I would pay it.
Let's say Lurch.
I would pay it. I would just pay it, and I would think
never be friends. Never be friends.
I would think less of them forever.
I'd be pissed off. Yeah,
I would think less of them. It's just stupid. I mean, I try not to.
I would call the dad and say, "Hey, dude."
I always take the higher road with money. Always, but I'll think less if like you invite my kid to somewhere.
I would send him a check in the mail,
and then you send me a bill,
and I'd put a note in there saying, "Don't ever." Your daughter can never talk to my daughter again. That's what I would say.
I like you taking it to the next level.
Yep. You're just a loser.
Eric, you know what you should do is you take the dad, you say, hey, you want to squeeze in? I got an extra spot available in this foursome. Take him out to play and have him pay the guest fee.
Yeah, send him a bill.
Send him a bill for the guest fee.
Yeah, I mean, you don't do that.
I always feel weird about being a guest at the country club. I always offer to pay. But nobody really accepts.
No, nobody takes you up on that.
No, that's insulting, JP.
Yeah, you can't.
If you offer, although sometimes,
I mean, some of these places are expensive for guests.
They are
at a country club. Like, let's say I'm just guessing, but at you're at Norbeck. You invite three guys to be part of your foursome.
Well, that costs me $500. Yeah. It costs me $500.
Yeah.
If I invite three guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
That's why I don't invite any people.
But they turn around and they invite you to their clubs.
Yeah, it's
well, not
fine,
if you're not a member of a club. I'm not a member of a club, so every time.
Well, then you shouldn't be hanging
anytime
out with
them. Anytime my buddy Eric invites me you or Kevin invites me.
Don't hang out with people that aren't members.
Right.
Nubbies. Don't hang out with the public score. Public course.
I'm a nubby.
Yeah.
Muni donks.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean,
I'm definitely a muni donk.
That's why I don't invite a lot of people. I may invite a couple people. You know, I'll invite Tom for the rest of my life because he let me play free golf at his place for 30 years.
Yeah.
He's got lifetime privileges.
He has lifetime with me. But, like, I'd love to play with Valdez every day, but I can't. I'm, you know, I'm not going to have Valdez every week out. I'll go broke.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'll have him out occasionally.
Yeah. And I'll bring Eric to Hidden Creek.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, well, you take care of it.
Yeah. Like when Eric came to the simulator and was banging balls, like he wanted to get something to eat.
Yeah.
And then he was like,
I felt bad.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, you're a guest here.
Sure.
I got
it. I was supposed to Venmo you money.
No,
I did offer to Venmo you, and I think I forgot.
No, I turned you down.
You did? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. If my kid went on a trip with another family and I got a bill, I'd be just floored.
No, but like Evie said, you give.
I would.
You
I don't think I would
it.
Take it as far as Jason, but I would pay. I would probably follow.
Well, I'm not gonna argue with friends about money.
Yeah,
it's like when you go out to dinner, and sometimes people will go, "I only had a soda and a fries or something," and you know, it's just you just chop it.
Yes,
you know, like sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. Yeah. Sometimes you go and it's just you and your wife, and there's four others. And you divide it, and you're paying more because, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like you're paying more than your half. But other times, it's your four and just two, and they take the bolt. You know what I mean?
Here's how you know if you're out with a real number. If somebody tips on the amount that doesn't include the tax, then you know you're out with a real miser and skinflint. Now,
monitoring that tip? I don't usually look at what somebody else
I
is tipping.
Either. Well, when we do it, I always, because you don't want to look like an idiot either way. Yeah, I just say, what are we tipping?
Right.
You say how much you given? How much
you
given?
I almost got caught by the place I went to on Friday night. They included the tip because it was a group of seven.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was ready to write down a big fat tip of like 40. I mean, not a big fat tip, but $40 mm-hmm. for my portion of the bill.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys goes, hey, was the tip included? And I didn't even think about it and look at it like, oh, charge me 20% already.
Right.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Right. I do have friends.
They almost got the double tip.
When you go out to dinner with them, they will
itemize.
They itemize what they ordered.
Oh, that's so cringeworthy.
So they won't just chop it.
But if you know that going in, you know that's how they are.
No, believe
it's fine.
No, it's not fine.
You just know they're not.
If you know that's how they are.
That's why I limit the dinners I go out with them.
But if you know that's how they are, maybe they
must be tight with your wife.
They might be tight.
No, they're friends of ours, but we don't go out to dinner with them much anymore.
You know why? Because it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It's freaking embarrassing.
I think the husband is like, dude, I'd like to chop this, but the mom, she calls all the shots. The wife calls all the shots.
Well, that's
so.
That's where he's got to just go behind closed doors.
She's like, Jason, you had four cocktails.
He's got to go.
We only had one cocktail.
He's got to go to his wife and say, "You're making me look nubs in public." Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
And I can't
see, did you just write it down?
No, I'm not going to say
that. Why, do you know the person?
I don't know. He swore down a name. I know when Jason flips over
I was going to write it down for
he was
Bitcoin,
about to show us.
Oh, because
so
I know
So we must
them.
Know.
No, you don't know him.
Oh, I know him.
No, you don't know him. I was going to write something that you would get a kick out of, but it's fine.
All right, we'll be joined by...
I think I know what it is.
Matt Verderam joins us at 9:25 from SI Now. We'll do EB's entertainment page when we come back.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.